What is up?
How are you doing?
Sorry, I was trying to come as fast as I could.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I want to get something. I don't want to sit in the crowd. You said you got the avocado, right?
I did.
And that looks
It was quite good.
My name is Asad Dandia. I am a public historian, a tour guide, and a university lecturer.
On my tour that I was doing earlier today, one of the undergrads, he was like, how does it feel that you helped Mamdani become the mayor? And I told him, I still haven't processed it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it. It's real.
Yeah.
It feels like a dream, you know, a fever dream. And maybe it'll hit me soon, right? But right now, I haven't even sat down to process it. And you know, this city in particular moves so damn fast that sometimes you can't even process things. You just have to go with it, man.
Welcome to the People's Republic of Astoria. This is episode 6, 3 Million Doors. It's also the series finale.
I want you as a listener to picture yourself as an 18 or 19-year-old community college student who spends your weekend doing charity or mutual aid work, right? Your weekends are literally spent delivering rice and beans to poor families all across the New York City area with your homies, right? And one of those homies comes out to confess that they were a police agent sent to surveil you, your community, your family, and your social circle. What goes through your mind, right? Who are you going to call? You can't call the police, they're the perpetrators. You're a child of immigrants, you can't tell your parents are gonna panic, right? Our parents would panic if we came home with a B on our report card. Imagine telling your parents, like, Mom, I was spied on. So the year is late 2011, early 2012, and the idea was very, very, very simple. A bunch of us, we're all like late teenagers, 18, 19 years old. Some of us, we were even younger, 15 or 16. All of us pulling together $10 each from our allowances or our internships. And every Friday, we go to, you know, Costco and buy cereal and rice and mostly non-perishable stuff. And we deliver them to people that we knew needed help. And one young man in particular sent me a DM on Facebook saying he wants to get involved with our charity work.
His name was Shamua Lamon.
This is back when young people are using Facebook, right? This is pre-TikTok. And I happily invited him to my neighborhood and to my friend's group, and we had a lot of Chinese food together, and I introduced him to all my friends. And he stayed with, you know, me and my friends for 8 or 9 months until at some point he confesses on Facebook that he was an informant sent by the NYPD to spy on me and my community.
Lamon was a part of the NYPD's so-called Mosque Crawlers program. He'd been trained on create and capture techniques, where informants were instructed to, quote, create conversations about politically radical topics with unsuspecting Muslims, and then capture the exchanges in reports back to the cops.
And we were all completely shaken by it. Our entire community was rattled. You don't know who to speak to about these things. You have no recourse, really. And so I didn't know what to do. Word gets out to the press. Press puts out some articles on it.
Soon, Asad was getting a phone call from the American Civil Liberties Union.
I mean, I told them my story, and at the end of it, they were like, okay, the reason why we called you here is because we're working on a class action lawsuit to sue the NYPD for what they did to you and our community, and we want you to be a plaintiff.
This was entirely new territory for Asad.
And in my mind, I'm like, what? What? Like, what in the world, right? Just bear in mind, look, I had never met an attorney in my life up until that point, really. Or at least not a civil rights attorney, right? All the adults I knew were like bodega guys or construction workers or, you know, like quintessential blue-collar New York job.
But Assad decided to sign on anyway.
So our lawsuit was called Raza versus City of New York. And just to be clear for our listeners, we did not sue for money. We sued for policy change. We did the noble thing. If we sued for money, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I'd be in the Bahamas vacationing.
When Assad Dandia was approached by the ACLU about joining their lawsuit as a named co-plaintiff, he had a choice. To fight back against his city's own police force, or to let the situation pass him by. Let others step up and do the work. Fighting the NYPD would come with real consequences.
So they started to go after my friends. And at the time, I had an undocumented friend who was basically abducted or arrested from his home and taken to a detention center. And they quite literally tried to deport him. They asked about me, and I feel like they really shook him up. Three weeks later, and he tells me about his experience. And then he makes a request of me after that. He says, you know, we might have to part ways. And I said, you know, I'm wondering why. And basically it's because he was worried that they might come after him again because of his affiliation. It wasn't personal, but, you know, he had to protect his family. So I said, of course, like, I'm not going to come in between you and your family.
Just a week after the lawsuit was announced, Assad, his mother, and sister were getting off a plane at JFK Airport, headed back from a short pilgrimage to Mecca. Federal agents were waiting for them there.
Yeah, my mom was the bravest person in that room because she demanded a phone call to call my dad, who was outside. So my dad didn't make the trip with us. She also demanded that she be present when they go through our luggage. And I remember telling her to, like, relax and calm down. And she was like, no, you don't know what they can do. They can plant a bomb in there and say that we did it, right? I need to be there as they go through our luggage. And really brave thing for her to do. And her request was granted. We got to watch them go through our luggage to make sure they're not, like, planting anything in there.
In March of 2017, the city of New York and the ACLU agreed to settle the lawsuit.
Surveillance of Muslim communities by the NYPD is officially coming to an end.
One of the policy changes we got was the elimination of the radicalization report. This was a report that basically claimed to identify signs of radicalization among Muslims. And among those signs were, like, wearing a hijab, growing out your beard, going sober, discussing politics. You know, everyday facets of people's lives were deemed suspect. That's really the story of how I changed New York City policy in my early 20s before I got my first full-time job.
7 years later, in 2024, Assad would join the inner circle of advisors for a young mayoral candidate, a 32-year-old Muslim democratic socialist named Zohran Mamdani.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the beautiful People's Republic of Astoria.
In the summer of 2025, after Andrew Cuomo lost to Mamdani in New York's Democratic primary for mayor, the former three-term governor of New York announced his intention to run in the general election as an independent. With Curtis Sliwa on the Republican line, it would be a three-way race for the mayor's office.
I'm Magdalena. I'm one of your field leads for today.
In June, Zohran Mamdani had shocked the world with his upset victory. And in a matter of weeks, I'd set out to document the experience, to chronicle the short history of the movement that made this moment possible. Now, with August arriving in New York, the general election season was finally gearing up.
Welcome. I'm so happy that so many of you, it's your first time canvassing ever. This makes me so happy. This is so many people.
Whose first time is it? Raise your hand.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Magdalena Miranda was running the campaign's first canvass in Astoria. There were at least 60 people there that day to volunteer.
We call it the People's Republic of Astoria for a reason. We're rep by socialists at every level of government. Woo! I wanted to introduce our amazing city council member, Tiffany Caban.
Yeah!
What's up, y'all? It's the general election. We're riding a high because our boy Zohran won the primary.
after losing a heartbreaking race to become Queens District Attorney by just 55 votes. Caban knew a thing or two about what it felt like to come up short in an election. She didn't plan to let history repeat itself.
We are not. Y'all seen those track videos where, like, the runner is, like, beating the crowd, and then before they get to the finish line, they start celebrating, and then one comes up behind them. We're not letting that happen, all right? I prize we do not win until we cross that general election finish line. And the reason we don't take our foot off the gas is also this. Because we're not just trying to win. We're trying to win with a mandate. So we're going to go hard on the streets, at the doors, talking to your neighbors every chance you get.
As summer came to a close in 2025, the Zohra Mamdani phenomenon was taking New York City by storm.
Let's turn our attention back to New York right now. And if you don't know the name Zohra Mamdani, you soon will.
Zohra Mamdani.
Socialist Zohra Mamdani.
As the general election approached, most of the people I'd met on Magdalena's Thursday primary canvases in Astoria had graduated to becoming field leads themselves. Now, they were running canvases across Queens and Brooklyn. So, I didn't see much of them that autumn, as I myself skipped week after week of canvas to work on this podcast instead. In no time, it's Sunday, November 2nd, just 2 days before New York City's mayoral election. At this point, I'm fully focused on producing Chapter 3, 55 Votes. So, picture it. I'm at my cluttered desk, at home, alone, listening to Shauna Morlock and Luke Hayes talk about their regrets.
You just go through so many different things that you should have done.
I've been working on this episode all day. All week, really. Cutting and cleaning tape, I'm slowly constructing the episode around their words.
Really,
and I keep hearing them talk about how many other doors they wish they'd knocked, how close they almost came.
Like, oh, well, if I just done four more shifts.
Part of you is just like, how did we get so close?
And I start wondering, why the hell am I still sitting on the sidelines? So I delay the third episode.
Quick run through of door knocking.
That's Kyle Huey, an Astoria field lead for the Zohra Mamdani campaign.
You're going to see a map. You are the blue dot. The houses we're going to are the gray dots. On each house, you'll see a number. That's how many people in that household. Sometimes a household could be 40 people because it's a big building. Each person should have an apartment number. Some of them don't. If you can't find it, mark not home, move on.
He was running the canvas in my neighborhood 2 days before the general election.
If you can, no more than 5 minutes at a door. We're not here to have 15-minute debates. We're here to get out the vote.
And I have a request.
Yeah.
Would any of you be willing to be recorded knocking on doors, talking with people? Would any of you, I mean, no pressure if you don't want to. I'm here to knock doors. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, there
awesome.
It is. You can go together. Perfect.
Thank you so much. Just made my day.
Any questions about anything?
Wait, so where are we going?
Just keep going like all the way down 37th and then do a loop back up here?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I think that's easy.
Some of the apartment numbers in Astoria can get a little crazy, so you have to do a little bit of like detective work to figure out which building, which stairwell is which one.
What's the first number?
The first one is 2311.
This is us. Yeah, let's do it.
When you're knocking on a door, I recommend no cuff knocks. People don't want to answer the door to that. So what I do bump, 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 bump.
Hello?
Hi.
We're volunteers with the Zohra Mamdani campaign. Do you have a moment to talk?
Main two questions. I'm just going to go back over it again. Will you pledge to vote for Zohra Mamdani?
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm definitely already voting for Zohra Mamdani.
Have you already voted?
No, I'm going to go, I think, tomorrow. Or
Monday, there's no early voting. So just so
okay,
you know.
Sweet.
And do you have a plan to vote? Yes, those are the two things. Great.
The lines are already crazy, so just don't, but you know.
Sweet, good to.
Just so you're warned, you know.
Perfect, thank
you. Awesome, so you have a plan. You know where you vote?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Just a year earlier, Assad was getting pulled into the Zohra campaign too.
Zohra and I both knew of each other for a very long time, but we hadn't yet sat down one-on-one between the two of us until August of 2024.
Do you remember what the purpose of the conversation was?
The purpose of my conversation with Zoran that day was explicitly about his ambitions to run for the mayor of New York City. You know, we were both familiar with each other and what we were doing, but we hadn't really just like chopped it up one-on-one. And that's very common in New York. Well, you may know of somebody, you may have heard of them, but you haven't really sat down for coffee or for bread. And so we had officially and formally sat down to chat.
He reached out to me because a lot of my organizing work has centered around Muslim, Arab, South Asian communities of New York City. You know, Zoran wanted to get my feedback and my insight. Like, can you break it down for me? Like, who should I know? Who should I talk to? What should I know? What should my approach be? I can't recall how long we were sitting, but it was quite a long conversation. And after our conversation, he told me that he might be in touch with me to talk about the campaign. And less than 2 weeks, or at least 2 weeks afterwards, he calls me to basically recruit me to join this kitchen cabinet of his.
So you have something called a kitchen cabinet on campaigns, which is basically like your inner circle of your inner circle.
It's this informal kind of advisory board or committee, whatever term you want to use, of people who just can offer feedback to the man himself, but also to the rest of the team. And I immediately said, yes, I said, put me in, coach. And we took it from there.
And then Zoran announces that he's running for mayor.
On Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, I spent the whole day volunteering for the Mamdani campaign in the Ditmars neighborhood of Astoria. I got started early.
It's getting people out to vote, getting people excited for it. It's joyous. We are a joyous campaign. I know it's early, but it's early for them too, but they're headed to work, so we want to try to catch them now.
Shauna Morlock was there too. She'd been roped into helping out that day as a field lead. Not that she was complaining.
Back at Katya's house, it was like the vibes were amazing.
Thank you all for being here. This is an incredibly joyous occasion. We've had press and media from France, from Northern Africa, Japan,
India.
From India. We've had volunteers from DC, from California, from all over the place. And you all are making this happen, and we appreciate you being here. And this is it!
I was there when he didn't know what his three main policy planks were going to be. I sat in that room with, I want to say, roughly 10 other people.
All right, we are going to move into a photo outside.
And the only two policy planks that they had at that point were the rent freeze and the fast and free buses.
And I want you to be loud for me. We're going to freeze the rent! Make buses fast and
free!
And I remember went to a vote.
Deliver universal
childcare!
And I raised my hand and I said, childcare. You know, New York is bleeding out families at an exponential rate. And it's something that I think is crucial for us to emphasize because cities need families, cities need kids, children. You know, a city is a multi-generational project. My younger sister, she got married, moved out, she has kids, but she can't like raise them here, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she's doing pretty well for herself.
Back at Katya's house, Astoria's political revolution was having its coming out party.
You know, snacks were flowing, people were chilling.
We're in a home right now. It is Katya's home. Just to give you an example, Katya has known Zoran for years. So we are in the presence of somebody who's been there since the very beginning. So thank you for having us.
A local Greek-American woman who's lived in the neighborhood since the mid-1980s, Katya is a pillar of Astoria's democratic socialist movement. On election day, her house was fully transformed into a staging location for the campaign.
Make sure you grab a button if you haven't had one already and put that on the way out. If you absolutely cannot do door knocking, or if you absolutely do not want to do...
Hundreds of people passed through Katya's home that day to help the campaign win this general election contest.
Everyone was so worn out. We didn't know that we were going to win.
For new volunteers like me, this day was the culmination of 10 months of effort, something invigorating and new. But for more experienced volunteers like Shauna, it was just one more election in a fight that never ends, where the movement and an individual's responsibilities within it never really stop pushing forward.
You know, but in that moment, like, there was just this, just the beauty of coming together and the solidarity that everyone felt was just stunning. I was just like, I cannot believe that. And it was the kids.
Oh yeah, you know, Mark's kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
Look at the chat.
Okay.
I started a chant.
Nice.
It was just sincerely like the perfect little encapsulation.
Oh yeah.
Pardon me, folks. Pardon me. Right above your head. Right above your head, real quick. I'm just gonna put one more of these down. Thank you so much, Katya. As always, I'm gonna put this here.
It was really fantastic.
Were you there for the singing?
Yes, the 6 o'clock. I've got video of it. They say with organizing, a choir, right, can hold a note for infinity, because if one person takes a breath, the other people are holding the note. Literally crying, you know, like, yeah. I remember just like choking up. I'm like, the solidarity, like, it was just like such a beautiful moment.
The volunteers at Katya's house are paired off for one final canvas. I seek out Shauna specifically and ask if she'd be willing to go with me for the last shift of the campaign.
Does everyone have lit folders? Hold on, everyone stay here.
I don't like the folders.
I don't like folders. We have folders here.
We got them.
Sorry, they're in this. Yeah, we have folders.
Getting to do this last shift together.
Maybe I can just like assign my
that number.
We can just go. I kind of love that. No, that's, you're gonna fuck that up.
Well, you just do like the unassigned first, you know? There's like a thing. Like,
I don't know. I never used the back end of that.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, yeah, you use your mini.
I told them I would help break down.
Okay.
Yeah,
it shouldn't take more than like 30 minutes. You want to do that and we can knock together after? Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do anything.
Is everything out of the house that you brought in?
Yeah. Actually, so why don't you and I do
just
that?
Go do that, and then we'll just make our loan afterward. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
We try to help Katya clean up her house. She basically refuses us, pushing us out onto the sidewalk, telling us to go knock more doors. Eventually, we do head out. The turf we take happens to be my own building. I get to check myself off as having voted. And with Shauna trailing behind me, we climb my staircase.
I've knocked that unit a few times, but not with someone who lives there, which is actually much more convenient, by the way. Thank you very much.
It was a lot easier to get in.
No, and you're like, oh, here, I'm your neighbor. That is the golden ticket to talking to people.
One of the first doors we knock is a young guy. He tells us he plans to vote for Mamdani, and we have to ask him. When? I mean, the polls close in less than 3 hours. And then we watch from the hallway as he puts on his shoes. As the minutes rush by, we hurry through our turf, trying to finish up early. Shauna has to get to the beer garden. See, while the rest of the city is worrying about a mayoral election tonight, DSA is already looking forward to the next fight. With Zoran the presumptive mayoral-elect, there will be a special election in Astoria to replace him in the state assembly. And it will happen fast. Shauna and the DSA, they're ready. As 9 p.m. approaches, we arrive at the beer garden. Shauna has permission to skip the line and get inside. She's on the list. There to photograph Diana Moreno, DSA's state assembly candidate, who's being introduced that night to the crowd before the poll results even come in. But even convincing Diana to run had been something of a struggle for Shauna.
You know, because I had reached out to Diana, like, no one was
asking me to do it. I was just like, hey, she's amazing. We should actually be considering her. And so I'd asked her, you know, she had said no a few times, but then when I was on vacation actually, and she ends up calling me up and it's like, hey, so actually, you know, I've been thinking about it. It's been like on my mind. I talked to my family and I think I'm going to run.
Now, Deanna will give a stump speech in front of hundreds of her neighbors to introduce herself. As Shauna approaches the doorman to be let inside, we hug goodbye, and I pull stickers promoting the podcast out of my bag. Out on the street, it's a madhouse. The press has fully descended upon the People's Republic. TV news cameras and crews crowd the sidewalk. And the line to get into the beer garden is hundreds long, stretching down and around 24th Avenue east toward 31st Street. It doesn't take me long to give away hundreds of my stickers. Soon, my bag is empty. Now, it's a little after 9 p.m., and the polls have closed. What am I going to do next? It's strange to be alone. On primary night, I'd been surrounded by people I knew, people I cared about, a whole community working for a common cause. But this time, my wife is out of the city, and I haven't seen the regular volunteers I'd gotten to know from March through June. So I head to a bar nearby to watch the results come in, alone. Almost immediately, I find a small group of Zoran supporters standing on the sidewalk, lost. I tell them I'm headed to a place nearby that's showing the election coverage, and they tag along. We're picking up other stray Zoran supporters on the way. By the time we get to the bar, I feel like the Pied Piper of the Mamdani campaign, sporting my orange Zoran bandana around my forehead, my little crew of volunteers in tow. We get inside the bar and find a group of supporters already there. But now, it's a party. On the TV, the numbers start coming in, and they're looking good from the start. Later that night, Zoran Mamdani is declared the winner.
The Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani is the projected winner, the mayor-elect of New York City, the first Muslim to hold that distinction.
Even in that moment, it didn't feel like an ending.
Thank you, my friends!
Maybe the end of the beginning.
Tonight you have delivered a mandate for change. We will fight for you because we are you. Or as we say on Steinway, ana minkum wa ilaykum.
Zoran would go on to capture more than 50% of the vote in the three-way contest. Over the course of 10 short months, his army of volunteers had become 100,000 strong. Collectively, we knocked over 3 million doors. We'd taken a political revolution from a small corner of Northwest Queens and brought it citywide. In 2025, I got to be a part of something built by my neighbors and powered by my community. Something made by people like myself who were further along in their journeys, who'd signed up earlier or just committed more fully and with less fear. But what comes next? See, that's harder to say because DSA can't risk devolving into a clique where friends elect one another to public office and then nothing changes. It cannot be a social club masquerading as a movement. But this victory also wasn't DSA's alone, and the engine that drove it wasn't built in 2024 when Zoran first decided to run for office. It wasn't built in 2018 either when Shauna Morlock met 10 perfect strangers in Astoria Park to attempt the impossible. See, a movement is always part of a longer story.
For us, the formative moment, as is the case for so many Muslims, was 9/11. I was in the fourth grade. I was in New York. I was in Brooklyn. That was such a defining kind of turning point in so many of our lives, because these were our neighbors, right, who were killed in these tragic attacks. And so many of us wanted to mourn, but we were never given a chance to mourn because our community was collectively blamed for the attacks, right? Because even if you don't care about politics, politics cares about you.
I don't know how long I've been asking myself, now what, without having an answer. For the last 8 months, for sure. But really, probably more like for the last 8 years. I used to tell myself that I got into volunteering because I finally had the energy and the free time. But I know I could have started earlier. For 7 years, I chose not to get involved. And back then, for me, it was easy to stay on the sidelines. I wasn't personally affected by ICE raids or abortion bans. And I wasn't part of the community of people who were already doing the work. So I felt no real pressure to join the fight.
I want you to understand that my story was 10 years ago. So I want us to understand that history is not just something that happened back then. History is something that is being remade every single day by us. And we have the agency to decide what direction history goes in. And we do it collectively. I mean, here we are today with Zoran in City Hall. And new development for you. His chief counsel is a man named Ramzi Qasim. He was my lawyer when I sued the NYPD. Ramzi and I were standing in front of One Police Plaza in June of 2013, the NYPD headquarters, to announce the launch of a lawsuit against New York City government and specifically the police department for surveilling the Muslim community. And now he sits in City Hall every single day with his boss, the Muslim mayor of New York, in 2026. So from suing the government to being in the government, it's all come full circle.
When I set out to make this podcast, I didn't realize that I was reaching for another form of avoidance, a way to keep this movement at arm's length. But in the process of making it, I learned a lot about the ways that other people confront their alienation and overcome their fear.
You know, you could hunker down and let it pass you by, or you could step up and fight for something new.
Every volunteer thing, you're fighting the couch.
Just shut your mouth and just pack bread or something is a good way to remember, like, what are the things that people really need.
And you chase that, you know, you chase that same feeling forever.
How you doing?
I'm good, I'm great. How are you doing?
It's been a year.
It sure has.
I met up with Shauna Morlock 5 months after the general election in May of 2026. We met at a Saturday morning. It was 10 a.m. in Astoria Park, not far from where she first canvassed for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez all the way back in 2018. So much changed in her life over the next 8 years, and in her friends' lives, too.
Diana Moreno is the projected winner as Assembly Member for District 36. She's going to represent Astoria, taking over the seat vacated by Zoran Mamdani.
What is your role, how are you comfortable describing it, I guess?
I am the Constituent Services Manager for the office.
What's your role? What's your capacity? What's your official? What do you lay it up for me?
Like, since last time we kind of sat down and talked, I ran for the position of Queensboro Rep to New York City DSA's Electoral Working Group.
And in case you don't remember from Chapter 1, Shauna's a mom, too.
So I ran for that. The co-chair of the electoral working group stepped down because she just didn't have capacity. And so I was recruited to run for the co-chair position. Which was, you know, just a significantly larger amount of work. And then recently, the steering committee representative position suddenly opened up, and I was asked to fill in for that. So, like, that's what I've been doing.
You need leaders. You need organization.
The being angry is cathartic, but the best catharsis is winning.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the line. Thank you.
Like, yelling and, you know, fist raise is fantastic, and it should be done, and it needs to be done. But at the end of the day, like, you know, sitting down for that 8 p.m. meeting on a Tuesday night also needs to be done, and like, is actually like important to like organize the organizers. And I'm like incredibly grateful for the folks that are very good at that. And I'm muddling through all of it.
A story is a special place. You probably can't take this model elsewhere and expect a similar result. But still, you can try. Because when they started this here in 2018, it seemed impossible too. But then my neighbors got busy. And eventually there were 100,000 of us spread out, knocking 3 million doors. With every staircase, we climbed towards something new. I can't tell you if we'll keep winning, or guarantee that the candidates we elect will make this city a better place. But I know that we'll keep climbing.
Cool. Door knockers, hi. Who has never knocked doors for the campaign yet? Nice. One, two, three, four, five. Nice, amazing. What I recommend is looking at your first one, ringing it, waiting about 60 to 90 seconds. If they don't buzz you in, look at your next one on your list.
Okay, who do we got?
We also need three.
It's never that easy.
The first person who opens the door, you will forget your own name. First door that opens, I'm always like, blah, blah, blah. I stumble over my words. It happens.
Hello. Oh my god, hi.
Hi.
Awesome. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
So you've already voted as well, is that right?
Once you get inside, then you can just be knocking on doors. But to get into the building, ring down your list, but do it slowly enough so that the person who buzzes you in is the first apartment you go to.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Hi. My name's, I'm good, thanks. My name's Emily, this is Tim. We're volunteering for Zoran's campaign for mayor.
I go to vote.
You did?
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Put it. Thank you. Okay, so you've already voted. Is it okay if I ask who you voted for?
Yeah.
Did you vote for Zoran?
Yeah.
Okay,
beautiful.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Our whole goal here is to turn out our people.
How's it going?
You already voted.
Awesome. Everybody in the house?
Yeah, we voted.
If it's a tall building, I recommend starting at the top, working your way down.
Cool.
That was a great building. Holy crap. It's never like that.
Where? Oh, there we go.
Oh. How's it going?
Hi. I love your section. No, I'm not interested.
Not interested? You. You're, okay.
Thanks for
letting us know. Oh. Tim. Yo, you voted yet?
Yeah, no, I can vote now.
Oh, you can't vote? Here, take a sticker right here.
Okay, yeah, can you just, yeah.
It's so good to see you, man.
Oh, my God.
So
good to see you. I'm moving out, actually.
Oh, yeah, where are you going? Oh, you're the one who has that's so funny.
Oh,
that is so funny. Yeah, yes. We're knocking on doors for Zoran.
So you're campaigning?
Yeah, we're volunteers.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, if I could, I would vote over
here.
Okay,
well, we're going to miss you in Astoria. Good luck in Harlem.
Thank you.
That's crazy.
That's so good to see
you. That's so funny. I love this neighborhood. He used to work for me, managed the bar in a previous life.
The People's Republic of Astoria is written, narrated, and produced by Tim Donovan. Music by Purocean. This project could not have happened without the people in my life who've supported me along the way. My wife Alice, primarily, who humored me as the production of this podcast stretch from July of 2025 all the way into June of 2026. And I never would have gotten off the ground without the help of Daisy Lalome, my original co-creator, who gave me the courage to move forward at the very beginning, even as she stepped back. I'd also like to give special thanks to Sarah Noe, who project managed during the early stages when I was still learning to juggle all the various roles and responsibilities. Thanks to Mark Hasenfratz for peer pressuring me into coming to a bread rescue with the Astoria Food Pantry in early 2025. Thanks to Nick and John and the whole crew at Diamond Dogs for hosting my launch party. Thanks to Julie Shapiro for her expert advice. And a warm thank you to everyone at the Astoria Food Pantry, Jen, Therese, Jenna, Cato, Juno, and of course Katie Fireman, among many, many others. And thanks to the members of Queens DSA who shared their time and helped promote this project. People like Emily, Annie, Jack, Katya, Shashank, Katie, Mike, Atif, Mark, and of course, Kyle Huey and Caitlin Bose. And lastly, thanks to my guests, without whom none of this is possible, including those whose voices never made it through an episode.
I'm Magdalena Miranda. I use she, her pronouns. My favorite story of food. Okay. King of falafel, always. Just classic falafel sandwich. And then, of course, I'm vegan, so I can't eat any of the food at Little Flower Cafe, but the iced pink tea with oat milk at Little Flower is one of my favorite drinks in Astoria.
Ross Barkin, your garden's very nice.
So my name is Jimmy Van Bramer, and my favorite Astoria food, you know, I'm going to say pizza from Gaudio's on 30th Avenue, because when we were young, that's where we went all the time.
My name is Helen Ho, and my favorite food in Astoria, I have to go with the place I eat at the most often, which is Los Portales, a Mexican restaurant on Broadway.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Luque's favorite? That's tough. There's a lot of good options. I'm partial to Momo's just because I ate a lot of them on Caban's campaign. It's hard to single out just one.
My name is Asad Dandia. Favorite restaurant in Astoria. On Steinway Street, there's so many options. I will say, and they're all great, right? But I have been a big sucker for Duzan for a very long time.
Oh my God. That's a divisive question amongst my friend group. Okay, so my name's John Sirico. My favorite food in Astoria. Whew. Okay, the place that immediately always comes to mind for me is Abu Kir on Steinway, which is an Egyptian seafood place.
My name is Sophia Optikar, and so much to choose from. But I would say the King of Falafel is a special place. And as a vegetarian, I just love their falafel.
Michael Lang, L-A-N-G-E. My favorite food in Astoria, Baharia Estiatoria, on Broadway, I believe. Yep, it's been a minute.
My name is Eric Thor, E-R-I-C-T-H-O-R.
My name is Benham Jones, B-E-N-H-A-M, like Ben Ham. I love the value, the budget Vietnamese. Lotus One, 31st Avenue. Nice. There are fancier options, but those are reliably tasty and good-natured people.
My name's Michael Thomas Carter. I'll go with Queens generally. I love the food in Flushing Chinatown.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so my name is Shauna Morlock. I use she, her pronouns. I'm trying to think what we eat the most at is... we do Quiquetes now that they've moved closer. Monday afternoons for lunch at Quiquetes is like the best thing to do.
I also must acknowledge an element of the story that was not addressed. I was unable to secure an interview with any opposition voice, and as a direct consequence, the story is inherently one-sided. Insofar as this is about a group of people, their movement and what they built, I've made my peace with that editorial choice, but it does deserve acknowledgement. Thanks again for listening, and see you around in the People's Republic of Astoria.